Track 7, London Landmarks. This month, we will hear from one of England's great cricketers. And Mike Gatting is not going to talk about the Lords or the Oval. Instead, he's been to the Tower of London.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of...
Hello, this is Mike Gatting here. I was a cricketer once. I played for Middlesex in England for over 25 years, and I was very fortunate enough to play at a wonderful monument in London called Lord's. But today I'm going to talk to you about another monument, and this one has stemmed from my love of castles and knights and dragons, and so today I'm going to be talking to you about the Tower of London. The curtain walls shaped a bit like an uneven pentagon with round towers where the walls meet. The entrance is across a bridge through a gateway known as the Middle Tower, which is near the riverside. In fact, it's two short round towers either side of the gate. The bridge leads into an area known as the Outer Ward, and then on through more gatehouses in another, inner wall, made from a mixture of towers and tall thin houses that face into the central area, or inner ward. Within this inner ward, the space opens out with trees and grass, the Victorian barracks, and a very middle dominated by the huge white tower. It's a town within a town, including the last medieval street in London. It's cobbled and lined with a clutter of buildings and bright blue street lamps with gold tops. You can tell a lot about the history from the different shapes of the buildings. The Victorian barracks are honey-coloured stone with large oblong windows, since they were just for living in and were never going to be fought over, unlike the older towers, which have narrow slit cross-shaped windows for archers to aim through. In Victorian times, some parts of the tower that were not considered to look medieval enough were demolished. The river entrance to the tower is Traitor's Gate, which only opens at a certain time of the day, at high tide. Then the water laps up to the bottom of the stone steps. Arriving by boat and going under the big wooden portcullis must have been terrifying for the visitors, like Sir Thomas More, on their way to prison. For hundreds of years there was a moat all round, but it was filled in when the Duke of Wellington was in charge in 1841. Now it's a wide, grassy dip. The tower is very well preserved, perhaps because over the centuries it has stayed continually in use. The White Tower is right in the middle, and it's the most famous bit of the tower. It's square with little turrets at each corner, called white as it used to be covered in white plaster. The silhouette of the White Tower appears in posters all round London. The other really well-known part is the Bloody Tower. Close by, they held executions where people such as Anne Boleyn went to the block. Important prisoners were kept in the square Beauchamp Tower, one of the oldest from the reign of Henry III. That's the grim side of the tower, prisons and executions. The French king was held here for a while, and then lots of other famous historical characters, including Sir Thomas More, Sir Walter Raleigh, and the young Elizabeth I. There were murders too, King Henry VI and the princes in the tower. Ghosts are said to walk, such as Lady Jane Grey and Anne Boleyn, in the chapel of St. Peter in Vincula. With those high, thick stone walls, it was still being used as a prison in the World Wars, when over 20 people were executed for espionage. There are cannons all round too, mainly war trophies, although not as many as you'd think, since sometime in the past the number was reduced from 118 to 45. The other thing everyone knows about the tower is that it's where the crown jewels are kept, in the Martin Tower. They're in a spotlight display now, and they really are magnificent. The collection has grown again since the Civil War, when the parliamentarians destroyed the first collection, which had been around since Edward III. They broke the jewels up and melted the crowns down. In the end, all that was left was a spoon and three swords. The Lion Tower, on the outer edge of the moat, has been demolished. It's where a menagerie of wild animals was housed. On that spot, there are life-size models of prowling lions for queues of visitors to look at on their way to the entrance. In 1251, there was a polar bear, which was allowed to go fishing in the Thames. The tower's history is amazing. It seeps through the whole place. The beefeaters, or yeoman warders, are former soldiers or policemen. They still have important jobs as guards, as well as manning the entrances and having their photos taken. But their uniforms hark back to Tudor times. Their tunics come down to knee length over breeches. Bright scarlet and gold for the dress uniform, and navy and scarlet for every day. They may look part of a previous era, but they use modern technology, and you'll often see a yeoman warder using a walkie-talkie. The tower's a busy working place with a life of its own going on at the same time as thousands of tourists who visit every day. The tower is still one of the most important places in London, known all over the world, the centre of our history, and still part of our national life.
Thank you, Mike.